We're going to read a passage from Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, before we sing our next hymn. Very happy tonight to be here to preach the message of the Gospel. And whilst looking to the Lord for a message for tonight, I was reading a passage of Scripture that really thrilled my heart. And I thought that I was going to perhaps use that tonight, but I am going to later on, because to me, when I read that passage, it was just so wonderful, and I'm sure you'll see later why. And perhaps if there is anybody in our meeting and you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, dear friends, tonight we trust from God's Word that you can see where you stand, and you can see just what is awaiting you. So shall we just read this little passage here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, and from verse 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 19. There was a rich man, a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and Lazarus likewise evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now I'd just like to turn to one verse in Romans, a verse that I'd like you to think about, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, and it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Wonderful verse that, isn't it? Believe and you will be saved. And you know, dear friends, it takes my mind back a long way. I see some folk in the meeting tonight that perhaps I haven't spoken to personally, that have been around for a while and attending our meetings, and a few others. And I suppose right from the outset you don't know who I am, so I'm going to tell you just a little bit about how I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And it was this verse that led me to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only this verse, but I remember, even as we read this passage tonight about this rich man, my mind went back to the passage that was read on that night by a brother who was about 80 years old, a brother Hugh Vine, and he read from Daniel chapter 6. And there he read about a king, King Belshazzar, who had made a feast for 1,000 of his lords. And this king, he took from the vessels of the temple and he brought it into this gathering, and they used it to pour in the wines that they drank of out of, and well, they in that, on that occasion, just made a complete mockery. His dad Nebuchadnezzar earlier had learned a great lesson, but Belshazzar of course ignored all this and he continued in this way. And only this morning we had one of these questions in the Sunday school about the writing on the wall. Here was Belshazzar. He was having a good time. He was having this great feast. And you know, that night I sat in the gospel meeting, and I was right at the back there. And not this meeting, but in a meeting in South Africa, in Wynberg. And I must say that recently when I visited South Africa, I had the privilege of driving Paul and Dot around to that very hall where I trusted the Lord as my Savior. Today it's overgrown with moss and whatever, looks like an old barn, because they had built a new gospel hall in its place. But that was the place, as I pointed out, where I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And right at the back I sat, and I wanted to get out first that night. But our brother Vine spoke upon this chapter in Daniel, chapter 5. You can read it at your leisure. And there was King Belshazzar, and he was having a good time with all his friends, and ignored all the warnings that God had put before him. Just completely ignored them. And he carried on. But you know, God is very gracious and kind, and just like tonight, he has given us an opportunity to open his word. And on that night, as Belshazzar was having this great feast, a hand appeared on the wall and it wrote, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." And of course, there was time for Belshazzar to reflect on his life. And do we know how that he sent for Daniel? First of all, the soothsayers. And then he sent for Daniel because they couldn't tell him, the soothsayers couldn't tell him what the meaning of the writing was upon the wall, until Daniel came and revealed the meaning of that writing that God had written on the wall. And this is what it says. And I'll use his name, Belshazzar. That wasn't written there, but it applied to him. "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." Belshazzar, the things that you are doing tonight, you are weighed in the balances and found wanting. And you know, I sat through that gospel message. Our brother Vine read that passage. I must confess, I won't be able to do it, but he was 80 years and he read that whole passage without even looking down at his Bible. He had it open. And I was fixed on him. And I heard the message of the gospel that night. "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." And through the meeting, he read this verse, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There was a warning. There was an invitation. Just like Belshazzar, and he could have there and then, as Daniel explained the writing on the wall to him, he could have taken account of his life. He could have said, "Well, I've got to take note of what God's saying to me and change and turn my life around." I knew what happened to Dad. And if you'd like to read that, you could read the story of Nebuchadnezzar, how that God had to deal with him. And when he came back, he was a changed person. But Belshazzar had this opportunity to change his mind and say, turn around and turn back to God. Well, on that night that our brother brought the message of the gospel, halfway through the meeting, he read this verse and he made an invitation. And he said, if you feel that the Lord's speaking to you tonight, don't wait till the end of the meeting. You know, dear friends, that is the wonderful thing about salvation. It doesn't depend on me. It doesn't depend on anybody here. It depends on God, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we've been singing, the hymn writer said, I'm depending on the blood. And you know, if you feel the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to you, you don't have to sing out from the seat where you're sitting. You don't have to stand up or put your hand up. You can sit right there and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And God will deal with you there and then and give you that peace and joy in your heart right there. But anyway, he said, if anybody would like to trust the Lord Jesus Christ at this stage, just come up to the front and repeat these words. And you know something? The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and I was 16 years of age. And this happened in May 1954. So that's 44 years ago, something like that anyway. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to my heart, and I, from my seat, came right up to the front, and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And you know something? From that moment on, as I left and went back to my seat, I felt that burden had been rolled away. And you know, 44 years ago that was, and today, when I look back every day, and you know, we look at our situation in the world, we look at the temptations of Satan, we think of what's going on and about, and we sang that hymn, I'm depending on the blood. The more and more you go on in this Christian life, you realize just how much we're depending on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because really there was just no other way that I could have achieved anything to gain salvation. Every day we fail. Every day we come short. Every day we just do the wrong thing. And you know, I praise God every day that I can say, I'm depending on the blood. Dear friend, if you're depending on anything else tonight other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you on Calvary's cross, I can tell you now, it won't work. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, that night, I came and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'll tell you now that I still have that joy. You know, life's not always easy, but I still have that joy in my heart. And I still rejoice in that day when I trusted Him as my Savior. And I know that my name is written in Heaven's Book of Life. Belshazzar carried on in that feast. He did not heed the warning. And if we go to the end of that chapter, the Bible says that in that night was Belshazzar the king slain. So he died that night without confessing to God. We read tonight in our passage about a rich man in Luke's Gospel chapter 16. It says a parable, but the Lord Jesus Christ says, yeah, it was a certain man, and he named the person also by the name of Lazarus. So I feel this story is very, very true. And there was this rich man. Our brother David made a comment that in our society today, people feel that they have everything. They don't need anything. And if they don't have it, well, somebody should give it to them. And so they don't really worry too much. But you know, dear friends, here was a man, and he lived a life of luxury. just like the rich man in chapter 12. He was doing well. His business was going well. And he said, well, I've got to build bigger barns now wherein to store my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, like Belshazzar, and be merry. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all these things be? This rich man here, he was having, well, he was living a life of luxury, no need of anything. He had everything that his heart desired. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, of course. You know, having everything, it's good to have everything, and perhaps you can share it around too. This man here, he said, I'm comfortable. I don't need much. And I don't know your situation tonight, dear friends. You know, some people sometimes say to you, or trying to find out perhaps maybe how well off you are, or how you stand in life, or, you know, how much you get in your job or something like that. And you might say, oh, well, you know, I'm comfortable. I'm doing all right. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But you know, I feel that this man, this rich man, he was living in luxury, but to a certain extent I personally feel that he was a good man. And you say, a good man? Yeah, I think he was a good man. I like to think of people generally as good, you know. I mean, you mean well, you want to do well, and, you know, Satan comes along and he upsets all your plans and does all sorts of things in your life. Generally, I feel that people want to do the right thing. Well, you know, this man here, we travelled a bit around, and I was sitting in, I think it was in one of the parks in Paris anyway. Nancy and I, we were sitting there, and you find a lot of people begging around those towns, and there were some ladies coming around. They seemed to be professional beggars. And there was a man, or two gentlemen came, and they sat right opposite us, and they had their phones out, and they looked very well to do. And of course these two ladies came along, and they wanted something, and of course they just shooed them away. Well, you know, this man here, Lazarus, was laid at his gate. Every day it seems like Lazarus was put at his gate, full of sores. It says the dogs even came and licked his sores, and Lazarus was there waiting for the leftovers from this rich man's table. Now, I feel he was okay, because you know why? He allowed Lazarus to be put there every day. He didn't say to his servants, hey, get that man away from my gate. I've got friends coming to see me. Take him away, put him somewhere else. But he was quite happy to have Lazarus there. You know, I see a man sometimes, and I've told some people about him, and I travel to work, and this man, he makes his bed on the street, on the corner of Parramatta Road and Frederick Street, where the old Arnott's Biscuit Factory used to be. It's now the big hardware house, and he makes his bed there. He did for many, many, many months. And until one day they said, oh, they've got to get him out of the place, and they shooed him off and sent him away somewhere else. I didn't see him for a long time. But I saw him back on Friday again. I saw him a few days ago again. But of course, he just comes and sits on the wall there. People don't want this sort of thing, you see. But this man, this rich man here, he didn't mind Lazarus being laid at his gate. I don't know. Perhaps he felt it was something to ease his conscience to allow him to be there. It says that he was happy with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. I feel that to mean that, you know, the servants, when they had some leftovers, they made sure that Lazarus got some of that. But we'll see a little bit perhaps later why. This rich man, we find, you know, perhaps we sometimes like him, we do a lot of good. And we do things that we feel that God will be happy about, and that God will not turn, you know, his attention away from us, especially when it comes to salvation. And that all this good that we are doing must get us into the kingdom of heaven, surely. Going to church and all that sort of thing. I had a staff manager in South Africa, and he used to bring out a little box for me. On the weekends we had the magazine, and the magazine used to bring out all the comic strips in there, and it had a Bible story in it as well. And he used to wait for me to come in on Monday morning so I can tell him about the Bible story in that that strip. And you know, he was a Jewish man. He became interested. But you know what he did? He was a bachelor, and he spent his time going around getting food parcels for the poor people in his car and driving around dropping off food parcels everywhere. And he thought that that was good. And he thought that God would not overlook that. And you know, perhaps you might think tonight that some of the good you're trying to do, some of the things that you're doing, perhaps even going to church, attending this meeting, God will have favor on you and write your name in heaven's book of life. But dear friends, let me tell you, you've got to depend on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps this man here, that's why he allowed Lazarus to lie at the gate. Lazarus, well, something happened in both these men's lives. Lazarus and the rich man. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, we read these words. And it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And you know something? They both died. It tells us here that Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. There we have a picture of these two men. They both died now. But here the Bible tells us about Lazarus. It says here that Lazarus, it says here, in fact, as we read further, it says here that, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth good things, and Lazarus, likewise Lazarus, evil things. Well, I think that to mean that Lazarus didn't have the privileges that he had. But he had all the luxury. But the thing that he had left out of his life was God. All the plans he'd made, but he'd left God out. And I feel that maybe Lazarus, laying at the gate and receiving maybe some of those leftovers from the servants, whatever, must have sent messages through to this man about God and about his life. And so he let him be at the gate. They allowed him, he allowed him to lay at the gate every day. And Lazarus was a God-fearing person. And he got the message through somehow. Because when he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, you know what happened? He remembered. He remembered Lazarus. And he said, Father Abram, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. Well, dear friends, do you know something? That this man remembered, but unfortunately, it was too late. It was too late. And you know, we, our desire tonight is that you be saved. We heard that desire this morning of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And you know, if we go back to that same verse where we read that same chapter, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, this is what Paul writes there, chapter 10. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." You know what God's desire for you is tonight, dear friend? That you will be saved. That you will trust Him as your own and personal Savior. Let me read to you a verse in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish." God's desire tonight is, dear friends, for you and for me. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, "Who will have all men to be saved." God wants you to be saved tonight. To be saved, He wants you to trust Him. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior and have your name written in heaven's book of life. This man, this rich man, time really goes on, doesn't it? Well, he called for help. Send Lazarus. Maybe he thought he could change things around. But he had to be reminded, it's too late. It says here that there is a great gulf fixed. Lazarus cannot come to you. There is a great gulf fixed between you and us. And nobody can come from that side to go that side. And nobody can come from there to go over that side. You know, sin has caused that great separation between God and man. And you know, the only way that we can really bridge that gulf is through the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious blood that He shed on Calvary's cross. And so he was told that there's just no way. And when this man realized that there was no way, that, well, he could help himself, because he just wasted his time. He just ignored all invitation to believe in God. He thought and he said, "Oh well, if that's the case, please send Lazarus home. If he can't come here, send him to my father's house. Because I have 5 brethren and I don't want them to come here. I don't want them to come to this place of torment. Please send them to my father's house so that he can warn them." And of course, the reply was, well, it says here, "Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Dear friends, that's exactly what's happening tonight. You are hearing the word of God from His word. And Father Abraham said to this rich man, "They have Moses, they have the prophets. You have the gospel hall here tonight. You have friends who perhaps talk to you about salvation. You have God's word. And if they don't believe that, what else are they going to believe? Who else?" And so it wouldn't be wise to send Lazarus back. He wouldn't be able to go back anyway. God wouldn't let him. Now, dear friends, tonight, as you think about this, and as you think about this rich man, and you think about this offer of salvation that he had no doubt even heard from Lazarus, and tonight, as you hear God's voice speaking to you. On that night when I heard God's voice, I said yes. You know, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, it says that God's Spirit will not always strive with man. And if you hear God's voice speaking to you tonight, or if you have that some indication that God is talking to your heart, that's God's Spirit speaking to you to be saved. And once that goes away, and you don't have that feeling any longer, you don't have that inclination, well, dear friend, then you should be very concerned. So tonight, be wise like Belshazzar. Don't be like Belshazzar who rejected. You know, even that rich man, he built his barns, but God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall all these things be? Dear friend, salvation tonight is personal. And there was nothing that Lazarus could do or the rich man could do for his five brethren. God had to deal with them, each one, in a personal way. And tonight, we say to you that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We've seen tonight what a place hell is. The rich man has just, you know, brought it to our attention. And he said, please, please, don't let my brothers come here. Dear friends, we want you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Have your name written in Heaven's Book of Life, and you know what's in store for you? Well, I'm going to read some scripture now that made my heart rejoice, and perhaps at the end of this, you will want to say, gee, that's where I want to be. Revelation. Let's turn over to the Revelation, because this really made my heart rejoice that I am a Christian, and that what's going to be in store for me, and that can be your portion as well. Revelation chapter 21. Let's read verses 1 to 6. And John here, he says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Listen to verse 4. All the problems in the world today that men and women have, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. What wonderful words to read. Let's go over to the next chapter. And read verses 1 to 7. Chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, as clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the stream of it, in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the seed of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come, which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth his sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had seen them and fell down to worship before him, before the feet of the angel which showed me these things, then said he to me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. Dear friends, tonight, isn't that a wonderful passage? Would you like to be in that situation when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and he's coming soon? Don't put it off. God wants you to be saved. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. May you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Trust him as your Savior. Trust in that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross.